is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 1:21. We're around until 2 o'clock today, and then it's Jungle Jim Hunter at 2 until 4 o'clock, and then my good friend Jeff Crichel joins us between 4 and 5 with the Crush Health Show. Lots of news in hockey today. Mike Green scoring late to give Washington a 3-2 win over the New York Rangers, and now that series is tied at 2 apiece in the bizarro playoff year of 2012. The Flyers and New Jersey play tomorrow, and New Jersey is up 2-1. And in the West, it's just ridiculous. Phoenix is playing very, very well, and their series against Nashville, and the LA Kings have St. Louis on the ropes. So we're just imagining. Actually, Mark mentioned a minute ago about the fact that, you know, Phoenix is their parade could be through downtown Phoenix and then to the airport, where they fly immediately to Quebec City. I mean, is this some kind of strange story that's being written this year? But that's basically it. It's an upside down kind of a deal. And New York is the team that I would think would be the favorite now to come out of the East. But with their loss today, you know, that's up in the air, too. And maybe the ultimate story of this year in the National Hockey League in the playoffs is Washington is winning by cutting back on Ovechkin's playing time and playing him very little. And I think most people would agree that, you know, offensively, at least, he's been their best player for a number of years. This year may be different. And I just thought that solving Alex Ovechkin's problem would involve more than just not actually playing him. But there you go. Canada losers today in overtime, a very close game, 5-4. Jack Johnson scored for the Americans. It was his second goal of the game at 1:47 into overtime as the Americans edged Canada 5-4. And word today that the Nashville Predators may be adding Barry Trotz saying that there's a high probability that Alexander Radulov and Andrei Kostitsyn will be back in the lineup for Monday's game. So that's the craziness we've got going on in the National Hockey League right now. Joined by Kent Wilson, the nation's overlord, to talk about Flames, Oilers, Canucks, and a lot of stories going on this week. How are you in snow country there, Kent?
Well, it's starting to rain now, so maybe it'll wash it away, so not too bad.
Well, I never feel too bad for you guys because I know in the middle of winter those Chinooks take care of everything, so I'm sure you're about 20 minutes away from good weather. So
yeah, it's supposed to be 21 on Tuesday, so can't complain.
Yeah, I always curse you guys anyway weather-wise, so we're not going to talk about that too much. Flames made some news this week, a really smart, intelligent bet, signing centerman Roman Cervenka. Tell me a little bit about it and the reaction from fans.
Initially, everyone was pretty surprised. I mean, it sort of came out of left field. It's definitely not a move the organization would have made a couple years ago under Daryl Sutter, so it's not something we're used to. And the cap hit that was reported seemed initially pretty high, but then when you learn that most of it is bonuses, it makes a lot more sense. So generally, I think fans are pleased with the move.
And does this imply that somebody like Jokinen may not be back, or is this just a move that has been made and we should disregard it? You know, it's outside the idea of the top four or five forwards.
I think it does imply that the team is at least not fully committed to re-signing Jokinen. It's given them another option and perhaps leverage if Jokinen comes back to them and says he wants, you know, 4 or 5 years at $4 or $5 million, they can say, well, we can go somewhere else now.
You know, the situation with Calgary up front is so interesting, but you wrote an item on Flames Nation that isn't about the forwards, it's about goaltending and the possibility of trading Kiprusoff. Is that going to be a major story here this summer, even just the possibility of trading him?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I mean, that and Jerome again, everyone's kind of waiting to see what the team's going to do and if it's finally going to cash in on these guys. Ginla's in his last season of his contract. Kiprusoff has 2 more years. The team hasn't made the playoffs in 3 seasons. So people are really interested to see what the team's going to do, if it's going to cash in these sort of assets before they either retire or aren't worth as much. So it's definitely an item of concern. I've had, I think, 2 or 3 articles on it already at the site.
Is it it might be a good summer for them to offload Kiprusoff because there's teams that need it, not a huge number, and Luongo's out there, and Tim Thomas might be. And compared to that, Kiprusoff's contract may be a positive, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. And there's only maybe 2 unrestricted free agents that might be considered potential starters, and Thomas Vokoun and Josh Harding. And then after that, it's a whole lot of backups. So if anyone's looking for a starter but they don't want to spend, you know, a lot of money, especially over a lot of years, Kiprusoff could be a, sort of an in-between option.
I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about the NHL coaching situations overall, because it's getting really interesting. And we'll start with what happened in San Jose this week, which the GM got a major, you know, thumbs up and were on side. And it was crickets when it came to the coach. That doesn't bode well for Todd McLellan.
No, it doesn't seem like it. And then you're hearing some things out of Vancouver that maybe Alain Vigneault might be out there. So that's two really, really good bench bosses, in my view, that might be available this offseason, which is good news, I think, for the Flames, because they're looking for a coach.
I just can't believe Vigneault would be leaving Vancouver. It doesn't make sense to me, although
no.
I know that the story is out there. But McLellan might be a good match for a team like Calgary. He's had some success in the postseason. They don't plan to do a complete rebuild, and you know, restructuring doesn't look like a rebuild. He'd be an attractive guy for Calgary.
Oh, for sure. I've had a lot of respect for since he landed in San Jose. And, you know, they've always had good underlying numbers. This year they were sort of bitten with really bad percentages, and it sort of carried through into the playoffs. So I think if San Jose shoots even mediocre shooting percentage this year, we're probably still talking about them. They've always been a good team under him, so I would have no problems if the Flames looked into him if he was available.
We hear rumors in Edmonton about Oiler, you know, coaching possibilities, McLellan being one of them, and then Sutter coaching the World Hockey Championships for Canada. Are there any names that have popped out in Calgary media or that you have heard with regard to the Flames?
We've been mulling over a lot of options in Calgary. Troy Ward is a guy who gets actually a lot of attention right now. He's the head coach of the Abbotsford Heat, and they had a very excellent season under him, even though, you know, they were frequently decimated by the Flames calling up all of their players because of all the injuries the parent club had, and now they're having a really good playoff run. And in addition to that, when you talk to a lot of the players he coaches, they gush about him. So that's a couple of good arrows pointing in the right direction for him.
The Abbotsford team, do they have a lot of guys who, I'm always surprised, Calgary actually has done a pretty good job developing players over the last couple of years, especially defensemen. Are there any candidates down in Abbotsford who you might see moving up to the big club along with the coach, if that happens?
Right now, not really. I mean, there's Leland Irving, who probably will press for the backup role next year, even if Kiprusoff is traded. I don't think he's ready to be a starter. There's some guys who you could probably call up for an injury, but, I mean, the best player on the team this year was Chris Kalanos, who is a 30-year-old, probably AHL lifer. So there's still not a lot of high-end guys you could hope to see on the Flames next year and would make any kind of difference.
This is Nation Radio. We're in conversation with Kent Wilson, the nation's overlord of all the nation sites. Let's talk a little bit about the draft. Edmonton has the number one pick, and you're an advanced stats guy, so I'm going to throw a question that maybe isn't in your ballpark, but you can catch a cab to get to it. Edmonton holding the first pick. There's a consensus number one in Neil Yakupov. Math likes him, suggests that he'd, you know, be a 40-point guy somewhere in there.
Yep.
Is there any way, in your opinion, for a defenseman, especially a player who has a lot of his value defensively, to cover the same kind of bet that a Yakupov would be capable of offensively?
I don't think so, especially not in the short term, say 2 to 3 years out. Defensemen usually take a bit longer to develop, and because of that, they're harder to read, they're a harder bet. I mean, it's hard to say what a guy's going to be like at 25 when he's 18 years old. So forwards usually have a more immediate impact, and offense is one of the most expensive things to buy on the market. So if you're talking about a defensive defenseman especially, I take the forward pretty much every time.
Now, Flames fans, are they into the draft yet, or is it so difficult because of where they draft to really get an idea about who might be available?
Probably not as much as Edmonton fans, but last year I think they learned to get excited after Sanberchi was drafted, and he's torn it up ever since. So It's starting to build now.
Have you watched any of the WHL playoffs? Berchi's been outstanding. He scored a massive goal, the 3-0 goal. He just a bullet shot last night. Crazy play.
No, I haven't caught any games, but I do. I look up the highlights whenever I can.
Yeah, your goalie, a Flames draft pick, is just shooting lights out for the Oil Kings, too. So I'm sure there's a few Flames fans who are checking it out. Wanted to ask you finally, Ken, about the you wrote a great article this week on Flames Nation, Asking the Right Questions, Content Over Style. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what the article talks about. We recommend people go read it, but tell me just the overview or the thumbnail sketch of the article.
Well, it's just something I've thought about the last few years. When you get into debates with friends, be it on the internet or elsewhere, you start to get lost in the categorization of players, meaning, I guess based on physical qualities too, or tools. So you'll hear, you know, a team needs more toughness, or a team needs more speed, and it gets to the point where people stop asking if a guy can play hockey. It's more about the physical tools that you can list off in a scouting report. And I think the first question anyone should always ever ask is, how good is this guy at actually playing hockey? I think I use toughness in the article itself as an example. And I think, for me, toughness for the sake of toughness, even on a fourth line, is dumb. I think you should always go for how good is the guy and then, you know, build from there.
It's interesting you mention that, because one of the best fourth lines in hockey right now is the Phoenix fourth line, which is cobbled together with you know, I mean, rejects and thrown away items, and yet they've been pretty effective here in the playoffs. And you know, none of them appears to be a knuckle dragger or somebody who's capable of lifting up a semi-trailer, but they're good hockey players, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think this really crystallized itself a couple of years ago for me. The Flames had Nigel Dawes coming off of a 15-goal season for the team. He had played in both a sort of a second and third line role during the year, and they bought him out. And then they signed Rytis Ivanens, and that was just nonsense to me. I couldn't believe that they'd bought out a guy who could, you know, score 10 to 15 goals in a support role, and replaced him with basically one of the worst hockey players in the league. I mean, Ivanens is a, you know, capable fighter, I'm sure, but when it comes to actually playing hockey, he was definitely not much of an asset. So it's those type of moves that I just can't get behind at all.
One of the things that I thought about when I read your article was, how many organizations give up on a player, and that fourth line in Phoenix is an example of it, where there's some guys who were cast aside, and it's a difficult thing to learn how to be a hockey player at the National Hockey League level. And so when you offload a guy after his entry-level deal, maybe you sign him to 2 more years, he's 25, 26, and now you're looking at younger candidates. The Oilers certainly have done this over the years with several players. Dan Cleary would be an obvious example, but there are others. Kyle Brodziak was traded for draft picks. Sometimes you give up on a player as an organization just as they develop the skills to actually be able to play hockey at the NHL level.
Yeah, my fear is that might happen to Michael Backlund here in Calgary, and I think part of it is expectations coming out of the draft. You know, guys expected to score, comes into the league, he doesn't score at a rate people expect, and then they sort of move him along because he's disappointing. Well, I mean, Backlund this year didn't have a very good year in terms of counting stats, but this was the first season that he drove the play against anyone but fourth liners, which is a pretty good season to have as a 22, 23-year-old centerman. And if you move a guy like that before he's 25, 26, you can really miss out on some good seasons.
The other thing that irritates me about this subject is people will often say, use an example of Linus Omark, who I've suggested is a player that you know, another team might look at. The Oilers obviously don't have an interest in him. But people will use as proof, if he goes back to the Swedish Elite League or the KHL, well, see, he couldn't make it. But there's a lot of capable guys playing in those leagues who could play in the National Hockey League, right? They haven't had the opportunity, or the timing wasn't right, but they're good hockey players.
Yeah, and there's probably guys like that in the AHL too, but they just don't fit into a certain pigeonhole for a third or fourth line player, and they can't quite score at a top six rate, but they can probably outscore, you know, other third and fourth liners, but they don't get the chance because they're not, you know, 6'2", and they don't weigh 220, and they don't bang bodies.
And just to wrap this up, and then we'll move on to the next subject, but I think the team that epitomizes what we've talked about here, player versus, you know, whatever description you can put on him, is the Detroit Red Wings. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, they just seem to look for guys who are useful, and they plug them into the roster and see how it goes.
Yeah. It's the Daniel Cleary story where he was invited basically with no promises at all. Show up with your equipment and we'll see how it goes. And he's still there and won some cups and is making a fine living doing what he loves to do. What have you got coming up on the Nations, Kent, that we can look forward to this week?
Well, mainly we might be rolling out something pretty major for NHL numbers. I can't really give too many details for it yet, but we're hoping that's going to have a launch starting this week, and it's not new functionality. It's probably content and writing some new authors most of your listeners are going to be probably aware of. And once that gets going, I think we'll have some of them on the show.
Well, you know what? That's good. I'll look forward to that. So maybe we'll have you on next week on the show to kind of launch that for us. Would you do that?
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
Well, we've got one guy signed up for next week. Kent, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Talk to you later, Alan.
All right. That's Kent Wilson from the Nation sites, and you can check him out. Does great writing for the Flames Nation site, but he also does across-the-board stuff, especially with regard to advanced stats, or at least that's what I really enjoy reading about Kent. He makes it readable, and I can understand it. And that article that I mentioned on the Flames Nation site about content over style, very, very interesting. And it really, I think, does speak to why the Detroit Red Wings are an organization that always seems to be, picking up other people's strays and have them turned into thoroughbreds. I don't know how they do it, but they do, and somebody might want to copy it who's a National Hockey League manager or general manager. Just saying, don't want to tell people what to do. This is Nation Radio. Benjamin Massey on the way, and we're brought to you by Edmonton Motors. We're back after this.